Welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I'm Coach Val, a wife, empty nester mom, and executive level professional. I picked up running later in life as a way to burn off excess energy after moving to a plant-based diet in 2017, running my first marathon at age 47 and entirely fueled by plants. Now, I help other driven women to achieve their own running goals while starting or refining their plant-based way of eating. We all have busy lives, so this podcast is here to break it all down in easy, everyday, stress-free language that delivers the practical tips you need to power your runs and inspire your mind. Whether you love the discipline of training for races or simply running for fitness, you'll find everything you need to run your best life on carbs right here. So in keeping with my promise of efficiency, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Running on Carbs podcast. I am your host and your coach, Coach Val. And today I am super excited to be bringing you a very specifically running related podcast topic. I am talking about running naked. Well, the first time I ever heard that phrase, I thought it meant literally running naked. And I thought, wow, that sounds really uncomfortable and very awkward. But running naked is not actually running like with no clothes on. Thank goodness, because that would be an entirely new level to our sport. No, so running naked means that you are running without technology. And the reason why that's so important is because it helps you tune into your own body. And so that's why I really would like to talk about that today, because as a runner, it's very important to be in tune with your body, how it feels, when is it off, how do you rely on your own body cues to know if you're running too hard or not hard enough, depending on the workout that you're doing. And so today we're going to break it down and talk about how do you run naked without technology. And I myself, I run with a running watch. I use a Coros watch and I love it. But there is definitely a value and a benefit to running without the watch. Because when you run without technology, you're really running free. You're running just on your own for the pure sake and joy of running. And as a runner, it's not always about the numbers. It's not always about your heart rate. It's not always about how far did I go? How fast did I go? It's, you know, so much about how does it feel? When I'm running uphill, is my heart, beating out of my chest? Well, maybe I should slow down, or maybe I should walk this hill. But really tuning into your body and how it feels when you're doing certain things on runs is so important. And the only real way that you can do that is by not relying on technology. And I'll give a couple tips on how to do that during this podcast today, this discussion. But I think what I want to start with first is maybe just how this came about. You know, how did this topic come up? And I read a lot about running naked and about running without technology and what it means, you know, mentally to do so. And there's a lot of mental benefits to running without technology and not having that impact, I guess, on your mind, and that So it's not about the emphasis on what can I do. I guess those are the words I'm struggling for. What can I do on this run? And, did I make my numbers? It's a real stress on your mind for something that really should be easy and fun and enjoyable. Running is not supposed to be work for most of us. It's a recreational activity that we do because we want to challenge ourselves and we want to enjoy it. It's not our jobs, most of us. We don't get paid for our pace. Where most of us here on this podcast, I imagine, are not out there running the Boston Marathon next weekend to try to win money. You know, if we're running the Boston Marathon, it's because we've earned it or we're part of a charity and it's an exciting, fun event for us to do. So those are that's why we really need to focus on why are we running? You know, what do we really want to get out of it? And do we really need to know every single statistic known to man from our sports watches? I wear mine. If you're on YouTube, I wear my Coros all the time. I switched off of an Apple Watch, actually. For a long time, I wore an Apple Watch. And then I would wear my Coros watch when I would run only, or if I would do a workout. And so I really only used it for workouts. And I ended up switching out and removing my Apple Watch, which basically sits dead in my jewelry box all the time, unless I need it for an event or something that I'm going to where I don't want to wear my sports watch. Because it got too stressful. I would get alerts and notices constantly from my Apple Watch about emails or voicemails. And I was just honestly too available. And, being available 24/7 because of my watch, it was just too much. And so for my Coros watch, I actually turned off all of the alerts. So it doesn't do anything except for track my heart rate and sleep and workouts when I turn it on. And that's it. And I love it. So that's perfect for me. But even that's too much for some people. And that's where this episode came from, was a conversation I was having with a client who's a running client. And I asked them why they didn't have a sports watch, didn't have a heart rate monitor. You know, was there some reason? Was it maybe an expense that they couldn't afford? Or was there, some other reason? And they told me straight up, no, it's too stressful. If I knew what my heart rate was doing all the time or during a run or, while I was resting, I would be obsessed by it. And it would really have a mind effect for me to know what my heart rate was at all times. And knowing that is actually going to add more anxiety and more stress to me. And I just can't take that. And I thought that was an interesting perspective. But then I was talking to yet another client who also told me that they didn't have a watch and didn't really have any interest in one. And I asked them the same question, why is that? And they gave me the same answer and said, it's too stressful. I don't want to know what my heart rate is. It's too scary. I'm too overwhelmed by that information. But then the follow-up question was, but can you still help me? Can I still work with you? Even though I don't have a sports watch, even though I'm not following my heart rate? And the answer is absolutely. And the reason for that is because there are other ways to gauge your effort. There's other ways that you can work within a training plan without a sports watch. Now, the one piece of technology that you probably need is some way to track time. So you can do a training plan based on time. You don't have to do it by distance, but that's going to be a little more challenging. You got to pay attention to, a little bit about how far you're going, because you have to roughly know, like if you want to run a half marathon, you have to have some idea of how far you're running in that time period that you're out there on the road, because you might be out there for an hour and a half and not realize that you've only covered maybe 6 miles or something, because your pace is just not as fast as maybe somebody else who can cover more in that hour and a half. So you have to have some idea. It doesn't have to be exact. It doesn't have to be, down to the exact mile, but you do have to have some sort of idea if you're training. If you are not training and you are simply running for fun, for fitness, then running by time is absolutely perfectly acceptable, and you can use what's called an RPE scale, which is the rate of perceived exertion. Rate of perceived exertion, there are different scales for that. The original scale is the Borg rating scale, And that gauges your RPE by a gauge of 6 to 20 on a scale of 6 to 20. That one's not used very often. It's really kind of complicated to use on an individual basis. So what's used more often is what's called the modified exertion scale. And the modified exertion scale is 0 to 10. It's a little easier to work with at a 0 to 10 scale. And yet, an even easier scale to use would be a color-coded system that I like to use that kind of breaks it down into just about four categories plus one, if you will. So the modified exertion scale is the one that I really use the most. And if you are watching on YouTube, I'm going to share a slide that shows an example of that color-coded system. So it breaks it down into four zones. And like I said, one zone is missing from this chart, and that is your bulk of your zones, which is your easy runs. And your easy runs are run at zone 2 to 3. And zone 2 to 3 is what's just called your conversational pace. It's very easy. You could run it for, you know, forever. You could just run forever, hours and hours. It's, you know, just above walking, really. So your exertion is very low. This is where all the work is done. So you're going to do roughly 80% of your running in this exertion level. And if you're doing 80% of your runs at this exertion level, I mean, do you really need a watch to tell you that you can talk? Not really. So you can use this exertion level to run most of your runs and build that necessary cardiovascular strength that's necessary to do the longer runs and to do the harder efforts. It is in this zone where you build your mitochondria. And the mitochondria, as you may have heard or maybe not, they are the powerhouse of your cells. So all of the cells in your body have these little mitochondria, and they are the power that make you go. Again, not a scientist here, but all I know about mitochondria is if the more you have, the better your endurance. Honestly, if that's all you know about mitochondria, you know enough. So keeping that in mind, if you're running 80% of your runs at this level, you know, to this zone 2 to 3 effort level, which is your conversational pace, then you're building that mitochondria that you need to increase that endurance and that time on feet over time. If that means that you're walk running to keep yourself in that easy talk test or conversational zone, then that's okay. And I just gave it away. So talk test is one way to gauge whether you're staying in that zone. So if you are doing your run and you can call up your best friend on the phone, on your headphones, of course, as you're running, and have a conversation with them as you're running and, you know, get out your words and sentences, no problem. You might be breathing a little bit harder, but you can fully have a conversation, then you are in that zone 2 to 3. You are working appropriately to build the mitochondria that you need and that building up that aerobic threshold. So that is your zone 2 to 3. That's where you're going to run 80% of your runs. This slide that I'm showing here, if you're on YouTube, it starts at RPE 4 to 6. And if you're not running a run at your zone 2 to 3, your easy run, you're likely running it in the green zone, the RPE 4 to 6. The RPE 4 to 6 is going to be your full or half marathon pace zone, and it's going to be your recovery zone. It's also an aerobic zone. So this will be your marathon pace. So if you were going to run 26.2, you're going to be running roughly at this effort level, this RPE 4 to 6. And that's quite a zone, a range there. So you're working at anywhere. If you did have a heart rate monitor, we're talking about naked running here, but if you had a heart rate monitor, you would be running somewhere between 65 and 80% of your max heart rate. If you had a watch, it would probably help you figure out those zones. But if you don't have a watch, you're running at about 65 to 80% of your max effort. So that's one way to gauge it. So you're just over that conversational pace. You're still speaking in sentences. You're still able to conversate and talk, but you're breathing a little heavier than you would in, say, a zone 2 to 3. And your RPE 4 to 6, if you're running at a recovery run, you're going to run that at closer to your RPE 4. If you're running a race or a half marathon or a full marathon, you know, you're going to be running that closer to your 5 to 6 zone. So there is some flexibility within this green zone. But for the most part, you're still running fairly easy. So the next zone from that is your yellow zone. Your yellow zone, you're going to be working a little bit harder. This is going to be like your tempo pace. So you're going to be picking up the pace on this one. It's maybe your 10K race pace. If you had a heart rate monitor, which of course we're talking about no heart rate monitors here, but if you did, you'd be working at anywhere between 80 to 92% of your max heart rate. This is quite difficult at times. I mean, if you've done a tempo run or if you've done a 10K race, you are working hard. It's, you know, you're working over a distance, especially with a 10K, you know, you're working over a little over 6 miles, 6.2 miles. And, you know, that is endurance, but yet speed. So 10K is a challenging distance. For the tempo, you're looking at roughly, not for the tempo, but for the yellow zone, you're looking at a duration of anywhere between maybe 20 to 30 minutes at that pace. So, you know, it's not a long workout that you're going to be at that 7 to 8 RPE, because that's not something you can sustain for a very long period of time. You can do it for a little while, but then you're going to need to back off that zone and go back down to, say, 4 or 6, something like that, for a little recovery. So that's your yellow zone. You would do minimal effort or minimal days at that RPE 7 to 8. I would say, depending on your fitness level, you're going to run an RPE 7 to 8 once or twice a week if you're more advanced. If you are a new runner, you probably won't run 7 to 8 at all. It's not something that I would personally put into a new runner's training plan, because you don't have that mitochondria built. So you need that cardiovascular endurance built up. But also, when you run an RPE 7 to 8, you're putting a lot more strain on your body. So your ligaments, your joints, those muscles, the tendons, the bones, everything needs to build up to that effort level. And if you haven't built up that endurance, both in the cardiovascular system and the physical body systems, then you are more prone to injury. So for a newer runner that maybe hasn't ever run even a half marathon or has maybe only been running for 6 months or so, I would not program in RPE 7 to 8, because that's just too much stress on the body too soon. So jumping down here on the screen to orange zone. Orange zone is going to be your RPE 8 to 10. You are working at this pace, working hard. So it's not a very long amount of time that you're going to be able to work in this pace zone. 8 to 10 is 10 is max effort. So you are way at the top of the scale. This is your 5K to 10K race pace, depending on your fitness level. A lot of people are going to be more at the 5K pace on this one, or 5K race distance and pace. It's 80 to 95% of your max heart rate if you were wearing a watch and or some sort of heart rate monitor. And you're looking at 30 seconds to maybe 8 minutes approximately, depending on, again, your fitness level. So, you know, amount of work that you're doing in this zone. So in this zone, you're only working for 30 seconds to maybe 8 minutes max, and then you're dropping into another lower zone. You can't sustain this effort very long. So this is, if you're, you know, in a 5K race, you're going to be pushing that maybe toward the end. You know, you're not going to be pushing this, you know, 10 RPE at mile, you know, quarter of a mile starting in. You're going to build up into that. But you are going to be running at that faster pace, that faster clip. The last zone is what's called the red zone. And the red zone, as a recreational runner, and especially as a recreational adult endurance or distance runner, you're really not hitting this zone almost at all. This is your VO2 max zone. And this is, if you are well trained, 8 to 10 minutes all out effort. At that RPE level, that is a huge amount of work. And that would be a lot of effort and difficult to do. This is anaerobic. This means without oxygen. So your body systems has switched over into a different energy system. And this is an energy system that's working off of other fuel sources in your body. It's no longer working off of oxygen. And it's a lot of effort on your body to just create the energy that you need to keep going at this level of effort. It's used a lot by sprinters because it's a shorter distance. So they don't have a long distance to run at this pace. So they just hit the ground, you know, at their top speed. And they hold that for a very short period of time. So you can see why, if you're trying to run a 5K, going into the red zone in your training efforts, probably not going to happen, probably not a big value to you if you're really looking to build endurance, if you're really looking to build that mitochondria that's going to support you in your longer endurance runs. I do have to say, though, running a couple of these things when you are more experienced and your body can handle it, you know, running some short strides at a very fast pace is fun. It's fun to run fast, especially when you're an adult and you haven't run like that since you were a kid. I love running strides. I mean, I do my strides at my normal like marathon pace or something where you're just running a little bit faster to get some faster turnover. But, you know, every once in a while, it's just fun to just take off running, you know, as fast as you can. How fast can I go? And, you know, and just have fun with it. Because running, again, it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to just be all work. It's like, oh, you know, you have a training plan. Sure, I'm following my training plan and it's, you know, very enjoyable to be challenged and to run. But every once in a while, to get that heart rate way up and just to see what you can do, it's fun. It's okay. Have fun with it. It's your running. So going back to running naked, you can do these RPE scales on your own without any type of watch whatsoever. When you're running your easy runs, do the talk test. You know, the talk test, like we were talking about, I think is the ability just to talk while you're exercising. How many sentences can you get out? Are you talking in paragraphs? Paragraphs would be that zone 2 to 3. Are you talking in sentences? That would be more your RPE 4 to 6. Are you talking in a couple words here and there, and that's about it? You know, you're probably into your RPE 7, 8 at that point. If you are not talking, you're probably in the orange zone in the RPE 8 to 10. So that's how you kind of gauge a little bit about what your effort levels are. And then, of course, you need to know how, you know, what type of workout should I be doing? Should I be doing the RPE 2 to 3, or should I be doing a green zone workout, which is more your RPE 4 to 6? Another important thing to talk about here is what's called scientifically, it's called cardiac drift. Cardiac drift happens when your heart rate and your respiration rate starts to increase over the term of your exercise bout. So you might start off in RPE zone 2 to 3. And as you continue running, you'll notice that you start to get a little more breathy, even though you haven't picked up your pace, but you start to, you know, breathe a little bit deeper. And I don't mean just after the warm-up. I mean, you're further into your workout. So let's say you get through your workout, you're doing, let's just give it a number, you're doing 5 miles total. You're into your workout maybe about 2 miles, and you've been steady at your zone 2 to 3 during that 2 miles. Now, as you're going over the 2 mile mark, you start to feel like my heart's beating a little bit faster. I'm starting to not be able to have a conversation. I'm doing more sentence talking than I am, full paragraph talking. And it's getting a little harder, even though I haven't picked up my pace. That's a sign of cardiac drift. Your heart rate is starting to increase with the amount of exercise duration that you're doing. When that happens, you really want to back off a bit and stay in your zone that is prescribed for that workout. So if you're supposed to be in your zone 2 to 3 and building that mitochondria, then you might want to pull back on your pace. Maybe you need to walk a little bit and take a little break and then pick up, slowly jogging again until you get back to where you were, as long as that heart rate doesn't keep increasing. Because when you're going by RPE, it's very easy to, especially on longer runs, to get out of that RPE zone that you're supposed to be running in. And where a lot of runners will go wrong and derail their training is that they just keep pushing. They're like, well, my pace hasn't increased at all. I'm still, going at the same pace. I don't feel like I'm running any faster or slower. I'm just getting tired because my run is longer. Well, that could be, but that's defeating the purpose of the point of your run. So if your run is to do 2 to 3 RPE zones so that you can build that endurance and mitochondria and cardiovascular strength, then if you bump up outside of that zone, well, now you've just defeated the purpose of your whole workout. Sure, you're still getting a workout, but it's not giving you the benefit that you set out for in the first place. So you really want to pay attention to that as you're training and as you're running. But if you're doing, a harder workout, you're going to be running harder. So that's fine. Let me see if there's anything else that I wanted to share with you on RPE zones. I think just for the one other thing I wanted to mention is that the examples. Okay, yeah, a couple of examples of like a marathon pace using RPE. So that's right. I wanted to share a little bit about what does a workout look like when you're using RPE. So one example of a marathon pace run using RPE, we're going to use RPE and maybe time. So you would run for a warm-up, maybe 10 minutes at RPE 3 to 4. Then you're going to do a mile at RPE 5 to 6, maybe. And then you're going to back off and run the remainder. Run the remainder of that at RPE 6 to 7. So you're kind of in between there, as far as the colored zones are. And then you're going to cool down for like 10 minutes at RPE 4, maybe 3 to 4. So basically you're going to run fairly easy, get the body warmed up, get the body going. You're going to pick up that warm-up speed for about a mile, so that you're getting the heart rate up just a little bit, and then you're going to hold it. So you're going to pick up the pace a bit, and then you're going to hold it for whatever your mileage is for the day or your time is for the day, according to your workout that was given to you. And then you're going to cool down for about 10 minutes, running easy, and just kind of bring the body back to homeostasis. We always, always, always want to bring the body back to homeostasis, whether you've got a heart rate monitor or you're running by RPE zones, doesn't matter. You always want to warm up the body by bringing that heart rate up gradually. And this is after your dynamic warmup. So this is purely your run. So you want to bring that heart rate up gradually, get it up to your prescribed zone and your goal in a gradual rate, hold it there for your workout, whatever your workout is, and then bring it down gradually again. Because you never want to just stop running. Number one, it's really bad for just your muscular system. I mean, everything just cramps up when you do that, especially if it was a harder workout or a longer workout. But also your your breathing system, your respiratory system, your cardiovascular system, everything just goes into a state of shock when you just stop. So you have to bring it down gradually back to your resting rate and give it back to, or bring your body back to homeostasis. It's always our goal. And then once they are there, then you can do your, you know, cool down stretches and whatnot, and whatever it is you do to recover afterward. So that's an example of a marathon pace. So you're going to be running at a little harder effort during the actual workout zone. And a tempo run example for RPE, I would usually use minutes and RPE. If I was prescribing a run training workout for someone who wanted to do or who was ready to do a tempo run. So this is going to be, again, that more advanced runner. So we're moving into, on the screen, if you're still on YouTube with me, it's yellow zone. So you're looking at your RPE 7 to 8 for most of your workout. But you're going to have your warm-up zones on each end of that. And you're going to, again, on a tempo run, depending on which kind of tempo run is prescribed, one example would be to do your warm-up miles at your RPE 3 to 4. You're going to run maybe a mile at RPE 5. Again, we're just warming up the body, getting it used to running quickly. And then you're going to run maybe 5 minutes at RPE 6. And you're going to bump it up just a little for another 5 minutes at RPE 7. Then we're going to bring it back down a little bit for 5 minutes at RPE 6 again. And then you're going to just run maybe a mile at RPE 4 to 5, just kind of cooling back down the body, but we're not stopping yet. And then about 10-minute cool down again at that RPE 3 to 4 to bring you back to homeostasis. So you see in a tempo run, you really build up gradually. Hold it a little bit so your body gets used to that pace, because running at that faster sustained pace is kind of difficult. Plus, during that tempo run, we're going to change the pace a little bit. We're going to bump it up. We're going to kind of bring it back down and bring it back up. So it's, you know, it's one of those that you really have to be tuned into the body and your systems to understand where you are on that RPE zone or the color-coded zone, whichever one you're using. And these kind of, you know, they kind of go in tandem, but there's a little variations in it, because the modified RPE zone doesn't match exactly to the color-coded zone. So this is sort of a combined grid that I like to use. Again, it doesn't include the RPE 2 to 3, so it can't have all of it. So I've incorporated both of them into this this design, and it's whatever works for you the best. You know, is it the RPE numbers or is it the RPE color zones? Whatever's easiest for you to understand and work with on your runs, that's where I like to help athletes to work with the zones. As long as they are getting their 80% of easy running in to really support them in their cardiovascular system and health and endurance. So that is the RPE zones and running naked, and how to incorporate running naked with RPE in your running on a day-to-day basis, whether you're training for a race or you're just running for fitness. That is a system that you can use. If you have a watch, though, like, so I started off this recording today saying that I use my Coros watch. And if you have a watch and you like to use it, that's great. But I think it's still very important for you to learn to run by the RPE. What if you're in a race and your watch craps out on you? You don't tune into your body. You haven't tuned into your body. You're going to panic. But if you've been incorporating how to run using RPE scale all throughout your training, you're not going to panic. You'd be a little disappointed, absolutely, especially if you're used to the stats. I know I would be. But you can still do it, and you can still have a successful race and a successful run. One thing that I've learned to do to test myself and to really tune into my body that I recommend is start your watch, have it on, don't look at it. I mean, set it to where you can just see maybe distance or time so that you can keep track of your mileage if that's what you're doing, or, you know, length of time for your intervals. But don't actually look at the heart rate. Leave the heart rate out and just gauge your run by how you feel. And then you can check the stats later to see how you did. Sometimes I'll do that during a workout even. I'll say, well, I'm going to run, you know, this far, and I'm going to gauge by RPE. And then after I was done with that, that distance, or by the time I got where I was going that I wanted to check, then I just double checked my heart rate to see if I was staying in the zone. But that's it. So if you're disciplined enough to be able to wear a heart rate monitor and not check it constantly and not be so tuned into it to where it affects your mentality on your run, then that's one way to use it as a tool. I mean, a watch should really be a tool in support of your training, not a crutch that you're hanging on to tell you how you should feel. So that's where the RPE comes in, is you are helping yourself gauge and measure and rate your own perceived effort on your run. And that's going to help you so much more in all of your training from, you know, from that point on. The closer and more in tune to your body that you can become, the better, stronger runner you will be. And that is all I have for you today. Hopefully this has been helpful and informative. And if it has, I would absolutely love it if you would join me on all my social media. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, you know that. Also, I'd like to invite you to join my wait list for the next group coaching program. I do not have an actual date for that right now to share with you, but if I do, by the time this is posted, I will share it in the show notes. Otherwise, please join the wait list and I will let you know as soon as that date is available with all of the fun details. And if you are interested, you can also inquire about working with me one-on-one, and just reach out to me by email or on social media and let me know what it is you're looking for. We'll do a call and see if there's some way that I could be of assistance to you. Otherwise, have a fantastic day and run your best life on carbs.